No. It's Paula.
How are you, Paula? Paula, you're the only one on, and I usually wait till there's at least two people on. So we're going to wait for a few minutes.
Okay. I'm the only one here.
You're the only one on right now.
Okay. I spoke to Judith today.
I saw her at dinner.
Yeah, you probably spoke to her then after I had spoke to her. And she was giving me some advice. I'll probably follow up on it.
Good.
Malka.
Good evening, Malka.
Good evening. How's everybody?
Everybody's well. Class tonight is the Deeper Zohar on the Parsha of Noach. We're in section 27. Pasuk 207 is where we will start, and I will start by saying, L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kud Shabri Chu, Ishkinte, Bid Hilu, Urchimu, Ud Hilu, Ud Hilu, Urchimu. Le'akta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Bi'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah. La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konanei aleinu maasei yadeinu konanehu. Weha yitbar bekochovin dechayavei alma. Dachyan la laskinta ad minayhu. Man Din chabel orcheya al ara ida maran ugin kach lachame anpe shikinta wila al bepalterin vial da kiti beilen vayimahu min haaretz itmachon min kola. So it is clear by now that the sins of the wicked caused the Shekhinah to depart. One of those sins is the sin of man corrupting his way upon the earth, as we have previously explained. Such a person shall not see the face of the Shekhinah, nor shall he enter the palace of the king. This is why it is written that they were destroyed from the earth, destroyed completely. Questions, comments, thoughts? Anybody have any comments?
I guess my question is, what exactly did they do?
Well, they did many things. Okay. They stole. They stole from each other. They manipulated the DNA and the chromosomes of animals so that they could interbreed those animals, and they were creating different species of animals. They mistreated each other. They were sexually perverse. They did many different things, and not everybody did the same thing, but everybody had some aspect of negativity. And the term corrupting his way upon the earth is basically saying that while they were on the earth, they were corrupting it. They were doing things that weren't to the benefit of the earth itself. They would drain the energy out of the earth. You know, we theoretically put the energy back because we put fertilizer back. But they probably weren't even doing that. The phrase corrupting their way upon the earth is very significant. It's talking about while you're on this earth, what is your way? Your way is a spiritual path. But if you're not connecting to that spiritual path, you're not following that spiritual path, you're corrupting your path on the earth.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? You're welcome. Other questions or comments? One of the important things to remember as you think about what the Bible teaches is the generation of the flood did negative things that required destruction. The children of Israel who were in Egypt, they did negative things. They reached the 49th gate of negativity, which was even more severe than the children of the flood. And today, we are even more negative than the 49th gate of negativity. So whatever we do negative, whatever you hear about people doing, whatever you heard took place in the Shoah, whatever you heard about all of the forces of war and destruction and self-interest goes on in our world today, always know that we are worse than any of the previous generations. Pasuk 208. Tachatze behahu vina bezamim kod shabarichu leachya ayayo polinun meitin yishtachun levar b'yishar arin nukrain kod shabarichu yivra Lon gufai hu gak hit ka baze deha karma kad ishma deya arat chot arahu karma it aved kachamia. When the time comes and the Holy One, blessed be He, resurrects the dead, He shall make all the dead in countries other than the land of Israel rise and stand in their bodies. For one bone is left from the human body, and it is like a lump of dough from which the Holy One, blessed be He, shall rebuild the whole body. Any comments or thoughts you want us, anyone want to express?
Hello?
Yes, Molly.
They're talking about the loose bone?
Yes, they're referring to the loose bone.
Okay. And from what I kind of read or maybe interpreted, maybe I'm interpreting it wrong, and I did a study on that. In fact, I just did a study and gave it to one of my friends. And she was talking about cremation, and I was trying to show her that wasn't a good idea. I wasn't trying to change her mind. I was just giving her some information. And it says
right.
that it's like a seed that's that the earth is surrounded when he made Adam. He started with the seed of which is I think is the loose bone, and placed the dirt over it and formed Adam in the four different directions, north, south, east, and west, which is kind of where our bodies up, down, left, and right. So with that said, it also said that the heavenly dew will come upon it and raise the bodies from the dead, or from the grave, should I say.
So you're saying that's why...
Go ahead, Paula.
So you're saying that's why we as Jews don't the commandment of not cremating the body.
Correct. The main reason...
Right.
There are many reasons, but the main reason is that any body that is cremated, the loose bone becomes destroyed and it can't be utilized to resurrect the dead.
Wow.
So that particular person that cremates and that can't be raised because it does not have that particular bone is basically, I guess I think we talked about it, becomes like a fertilizer for, you know, if they throw their ashes out somewhere for the earth or for the grass or for the whatever, wherever it's thrown. So that person we won't recognize that person because that bone is no longer there to form the body.
It's actually an indication that in that lifetime there were no significant spiritual growth that would allow that body to merit being resurrected. Now, if certain actions did cause certain parts of their soul to make and finish the correction for that part of the soul, then it meant that there's an earlier body from a reincarnation that part of the soul will be able to be resurrected into that previous body.
Okay, but it won't
now,
be...
What I'm doing in this discussion is applying to what we learned in the advanced reincarnation about
right.
the different types of corrections of the souls and how they interact with each other, the parts of the soul. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Here's my scenario. Just scenario. Say, okay, Donna passes away, and they cremate her body. But that body, that structure of the body, that vessel that I was given, it'd be flesh and bone. It will not resurrect to show, hey, there's Donna. It will go into another body that we may not know. It's not Donna, but it's part of another soul spark with that other entity. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. Okay.
Pasuk 2:4-9. Actually, we're not going to be able to finish 209 and 210, so I'm going to hold this off until tomorrow. So if you want to continue with questions on the two verses that we did, 207 and 208, let's do that.
Okay. I don't want to get anybody else's. I want to make somebody else have time to ask questions. But my research that I did, I was really taken back with the research where it says that, of course, we're born with 350 bones as an infant, born into the world. And as we grow into adults, and I forget what point, but we end up with the bones fusing together where we have 208, I believe, and then 42 ligaments and joints and so forth and so on. And that takes me to the 42, which is the anabaechoic. And then from there, it went from the life of Sarah and Abraham buying the cave for their burial site, where Adam and Eve was buried, and he paid full price, which was, I think, 400. And I don't know if it said shekels or the sum, but it was 400.
He paid 400 silver shekels, yes.
Okay. And what that meant is that he took the valve out of an evil eye from Ephron, I believe it said, and which Ephron ends up being a total, and I forget what the total was. I think it's 248. It might have been 350, 248, which ended up being dust, D-U-S-T. So
Ephron is spelled Aleph, Pe, Resh, Nun, with a vav, Ephron, with a vav between the Resh and the Nun.
Right, okay.
Nun is 50. Nun is 50, Resh is 200, so there's 250. The pay is 80, which would make it 330. And then you have the Aleph. Excuse me. Ephron is spelled with an I and not an Aleph.
Right, so
you now
which
add
is 70.
70 to the 350 becomes 420. And then the vav makes it 426. So that's
okay.
The gematria of Ephron.
Okay. Then you take the vav out, then what does it add up to be?
Would be 420, which is the 42 times 10.
Okay. Well, and I have to go back, and it's been several days since I did the search, and I went to Kabbalah to get that. But anyway, it was pretty interesting how that all comes back to.
I'd appreciate it if you'd send me the link to that analysis.
I think it was the life of Sarah is where I found it.
Yeah, it would be. It would be in the Torah tells us about Ephron and Abraham at that time. But I'm asking for the link to the information you received.
Okay. Okay. I'll do that.
Appreciate it.
I might have it right here. Yeah, I have it. It's rabbisimeon.com. That's where I found it.
Rabbi Please either text me or send me the link by email. I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Because without any disrespect, it's probably Rabbi Shimon, but when you say Simeon, I'd spell it differently. So it's just easier to send the links. And since I know you, I'm not worried about opening up a link and having my resources, God forbid, sent scammed through the internet. So don't worry about it.
Okay.
So we're about out of time. And tomorrow we'll finish up this section 27.
In the Torah, I didn't get the name of the chapter. I'm sorry that we were on.
Chaye Sarah is what she was talking about.
I'm talking about the chapter that you're talking about with Noah.
Oh, we're in the Zohar, and we're in section 27 of the Zohar. And Paula, you need access to a computer to get the Zohar online, or you need to buy the set of books, which is about $450. But I read it to you in the Aramaic for energy, and I read the English translation. And it's more difficult. I understand you can't really follow it exactly, but that's why you can get access to the recordings so that you can play it over again.
Okay.
But that's why one of the two phones that you're using should have access to be able to get to the internet. And once you have that, give me a call and I'll walk you through the steps to get you on the internet and get you to the locations where you can get access to this information.
Okay.
But in the meantime, just listening to the words is beneficial.
It is.
And you picked up information that you didn't have. I'm sure you picked up information yesterday and today that you weren't aware of.
Exactly. And brought some questions to mind in my particular situation. So at another time, we'll discuss
it. Tonight is the questions and answers, which is at 7 o'clock.
Okay. So pardon?
You can call in and ask questions, and I just if I feel that it's a question that's too personal, I will stop it and arrange for another time to talk to you. But as long as it's a general question, a lot of people benefit by listening to the questions and answers recordings.
Okay, well, it's not that personal, but what if the people that are left, your relatives to bury you are not Jews. And they've made it so convenient.
We'll talk about that on the 7 o'clock class, which is 10 o'clock your time, Paula.
Okay.
That's something that a lot of people have the same issue. So?
Tonight?
Yes, tonight.
Okay. All right, then.
And tomorrow we have the 4:30 class. We'll continue and we'll finish this section of Noah from the Zohar.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7 o'clock,
yeah.
7 o'clock tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Connections. So I strongly recommend everybody attend that. Shalom
Thank you,
to all. Thank you, Mo.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom, brother.